His soul did not die when his body died. His soul lived on and was cast into hell. And we're reminded in the New Testament of the terror and the torment of unbelievers. Turn to Luke chapter 12 and we'll see what the Savior says in this particular portion in the Word of God. Luke 12 verse number 4. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton, delighted to have you with us as we consider the truth of God together. If you have been enjoying these programs, if they have indeed been a blessing to your soul, and you would like to let us know that you're listening, do contact us via email, pastor@cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. We look forward to receiving your mail. Those details will be repeated at the end of today's program.
The soul is an important part of the makeup of every man and woman. It is the soul that lives forever. It is the soul that can be cast into outer darkness. It is the soul that goes to be with the Lord. And we're going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale to consider the message, The Soul of Man. May the Lord bless his word to your heart today.
Eternity, eternity, where will you spend eternity? One old 19th century commentator said, we all have souls that live forevermore, souls for which we will give account to God for. And these thoughts bring us into our second main heading. The soul has an eternal value, and eternal value. We see that implied in Mark 8. We see that when we consider the importance of laying up treasure to God. Men joke about their souls. Works of fiction include men making deals with the devil to sell their soul. Utter mockery of God and the gospel. It makes fun of the serious consequences of neglecting your soul. And we find the great unspeakable value of the soul here in verse 36. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The possession of all the treasures in this world cannot keep the soul of man. If you desire your soul to be right with God, and you desire eternal life, and your soul to be with God in eternity, the possession of all the treasures in this world cannot achieve that. The soul lives forever. But in order for the soul to be with God in heaven, there must be a turning from sin. There must be that realization of eternity. And that's something that we maybe don't understand. We live for the moment. We live for life now. We make our plans for the year that lies ahead. We make our plans for next year. I bought a 5-year planner recently to keep track of all the radio programs that go out, and I thought it was best to have that in front of me. It's for 5 years, and I can keep track, and I know when a program's done. I can highlight when everything's green and uploaded. It keeps me organized. And that's one of the problems, trying to be organized. But it's for 5 years. And I'm already planning what sermons we've preached recently. And in the last couple of weeks, to be placed in certain dates next year. We have our plans. We can plan ahead. But eternity sometimes is not in our view. And you can be young tonight. You can have many years ahead of you, if God will. And you're not maybe thinking of eternity. What happens when you leave this scene of time? What happens when God says the end is nigh? The end of your life has come. Sometimes you know it's going to come. You know that in days or weeks or months it's going to come. At this point in time, some may say, well, I can look ahead maybe 50 years and I know at the end of those 50 years it's probably going to come. But it could also come in a matter of days, weeks, hours, minutes. The Bible says we're not to boast ourselves of tomorrow. And all that we are in life, all that we own in life, all the fame, fortune we may have in life, it means nothing in eternity. It means nothing in eternity. Notice what the text says. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? And you would say there's great profit if he gains the world. There's great blessing. He doesn't have to maybe work so hard if he has all this money. He has people to labor for him. He has great houses and wealth and power and authority. Oh, what great profit there is. The Lord Jesus says, what profit is there if he gains all these things, but his own soul is lost? And therefore our soul, that which is immortal, that which lives forever, is of more value than that which is temporal in this world. It's of more value. That's why we say that whenever someone is born and someone dies, and we mentioned this recently, there is that, I believe we said it to the youth on Friday evening, there is that gap. If you walk through a graveyard, someone was born 1936, they died in 2020. There's that gap that implies the years they lived, all those decades, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, and so on. But what is important is not really that time that they lived, but what they did during that time regarding their sin and their salvation. Did they prepare their soul for eternity, or did they gain the whole world and lose their own soul? What happens when a man loses his soul? Well, we can think, firstly, of how he can lose his soul because of sin, because of iniquity. We were born in sin, and that sin separates from God. That sin will take us to a lost eternity. I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews and chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and the verse number 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape the wrath of God? How shall we escape eternity in hell? How shall we escape the judgment to come if we neglect the great salvation that is offered to us in the gospel of Christ? How shall we escape if we have not prepared our souls for eternity? And there is a great value placed upon the soul because it lives for eternity. There is a great value placed upon the soul because it is only in life that you can trust Christ as Savior. On the judgment seat, when we appear before the throne of God and we realize, maybe you realize God exists. Maybe you realize then, well, I'm truly a sinner. Maybe you'll realize then the preacher was right in what he said. And every gospel preacher, they got it right. And the Bible got it right. And I got it wrong. But it's too late to change your heart. It's too late to turn to God. The end has come. The end has come, and you have lost your soul. Everything in life may have been gained, but your soul has an eternal value. There are many in life who live as if their soul is of no value. They have no time for the Scriptures, no time for the gospel. If they truly believe that the soul of man was created by God and had an eternal value, surely they would listen. Surely they would take heed. Surely they would be concerned. And why would they be concerned? Well, thirdly, we see that the soul can be lost for eternity. The soul can be lost for eternity. Turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, and the verse 28. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Man places more value on worldly things than on his own spiritual good. And how sad that is. Man places a great value upon the things of the world and upon what the world can accomplish for him, what the world gives to him. The focus is upon the world. The focus is upon the sin of the world and the lust and the pleasure of the world that last but for a season. That is where his focus often is. Maybe that is where your focus is tonight. Your focus is upon the world and upon the pleasures of the world, upon the sin that the Word of God says lasts but for a season, and Christ is forsaken and his gospel is forsaken. But that sin will take you, and it will take your soul to a lost eternity. Ezekiel 20 tells us the soul that sinneth it shall die. It shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth will be lost for all eternity. And you see, the soul then is precious. It has that eternal value, but it can be lost. It can be lost. The Word of God reminds us in the book of Matthew of the sheep and the goats, the wheat and the tares that were gathered into the barn. The wheat were gathered into the Father's barn. The tares were separated and put into the fire, put into that place of burning, put into that place of judgment and destruction, the place that pictures hell. And the soul that is lost, the soul that is lost for all eternity, a time that never ends, that soul lost for all eternity is in hell for all eternity. The judgment of God is a serious thing. And tonight, what about your soul? Does your soul know the cleansing power of Christ, or will it be lost for all eternity? We see, fourthly, that the soul must have a divine Savior. The soul must have a divine Savior. There is a Redeemer for the soul. There is one who died to save. And I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Here the Apostle Paul deals with the sin of man. He deals with the sin that sends men to hell. And in the midst of this sin, in the midst of this iniquity, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy. And this is the great change to man's condition of sin, the great change to his estate of sin and misery. But God steps in. Man could not redeem himself. This is what Ephesians 2 reminds us of. We could not save ourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 9. But God steps in. And God, in mercy and love and grace, provided a way of salvation. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, or resurrected us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And the passage goes on to speak about the great blessings and benefits of that salvation that is found in Christ. Sitting in heavenly places with Christ, being saved by Christ, being the workmanship of God because of Christ. How marvelous that is. But it is God who makes the difference. Tonight, what about your soul? Are you living for Christ? Are you living for the Lord? Do you know the cleansing power of the blood of the Lamb upon your soul? Do you know that God has stepped into your life and into your heart and convicted you of sin, and you've turned from that sin and repented from that sin, looking to Christ and His cross and His finished work? Ephesians 2 verse 13 tells us, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, separated because of sin, are made nigh or brought near by the blood of Christ. That is what the Savior does in His gospel. That is how the soul is cleansed. Oh, your soul needs the Savior. Tonight, do you place more value upon your soul than you do upon the things of this world? Do you place more value upon your immortal soul than you do upon anything this world has to offer? Oh, that you would. Oh, that you would realize there is no profit if you gain everything in this world, but your soul goes to everlasting judgment in eternity. Oh, believer, when we think of the soul, we're to guard our souls. We're to be vigilant of guarding our souls, of dealing with sin, of seeking to serve the Lord, of putting Him first, of rejoicing in the eternal destiny of our soul because Christ has saved us, of rejoicing that our souls have been changed by the power of Christ And surely that great truth that we've been changed and redeemed and our souls have been set free, surely does that not motivate you to live for Christ, to serve Him, and to tell others of the great news of the Lord Jesus Christ? The madman in the Scriptures, the man of the Gadarenes, was healed and redeemed by the Savior. He was set free by Christ. He wanted to follow the Savior and be with Him physically, but Christ said no. And He said, go home to thy friends and publish the great things which I've done for you. He was to go back into his city and be a testimony of what Christ had done for his soul. And tonight, dear believer, are you desiring to be a testimony for Christ? Not to hide the gospel away, but to be a testament in your life, in society, wherever you find yourself, that Christ is your Savior, Christ is your Redeemer. He has set you free. And you're going by your actions, by your words, you're going and publishing amongst your friends and family the great things that Christ has done for you. Oh, that you would have the desire to do so, rejoicing that you could never deliver your soul yourself, but Christ paid the debt. Christ redeemed you and set you free. May the Lord bless His word tonight for His name's sake. Amen.
Spurgeon takes us today to the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 8. My beloved. This was a golden name which the ancient church in her most joyous moments was wont to give to the anointed of the Lord. When the time of the singing of birds was come, and the voice of the turtle was heard in her land, her love note was sweeter than either, as she sang, my beloved is mine, and I am his, he feedeth among the lilies. Ever in her Song of Songs doth she call him by that delightful name, my beloved. Even in the long winter, when idolatry had withered the garden of the Lord, her prophets found space to lay aside the burden of the Lord for a little season, and to say, as Isaiah did, now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. Though the saints had never seen his face, though as yet he was not made flesh, nor had dwelt among us, nor had man beheld his glory. He was the consolation of Israel, the hope and joy of all the chosen, the beloved of all those who are upright before the Most High. We, in the summer days of the church, are also wont to speak of Christ as the best beloved of our soul, and to feel that he is very precious, the chiefest among 10,000, and the altogether lovely. So true is it that the church loves Jesus, and claims him as her beloved, that the apostle dare defies the whole universe to separate her from the love of Christ, and declares that neither persecutions, distress, afflictions, peril, or the sword have been able to do it. Nay, he joyously boasts, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Oh, that we knew more of thee, thou ever precious one! My sole possession is thy love. In earth beneath or heaven above, I have no other store, and though with fervent suit I pray, and importune thee day by day, I ask thee nothing more. We come to the end of our programme today. We trust it has been indeed a blessing to your soul, and you would consider your beloved. Is he the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who left heaven for earth, to go to Calvary's cross to die for the sins of his people? Tell me today, do you believe in Christ? Is he your Saviour? Is he your Lord and your Master? Oh, that you would turn from your sin and look on to the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. As a believer, do you love Christ the way that you ought to love Christ? Oh, how our love for Christ can often wane, but yet may we have that burning heart for our Saviour, the one who died for us, the one who redeemed us. May we never decrease in our love for the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091, or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.